Good works do not make you a good man, but a good man does good works. Martin Luther.
You're listening to the Think Twice TV podcast.
And this was night and day different than anything I had ever experienced.
I was humbled and even embarrassed. I really felt God knocking on the door.
You know, I was an atheist and I thought that science was the right way and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale really is what I thought.
God had a plan for my life. And I believe when we lose our life is when we find the life that God wants us to have.
Hola, shalom, and jambon. Welcome to the podcast. I am your hardworking host, Dan Henderson. My good friend Russ McCoy told the story where he was attending a big event with lots of big-name speakers. Each presenter came and went, and they huffed and they puffed, and they used big words, and they did their level best to give an impactful message. Finally, it was time for the keynote speaker, a powerful and influential man. As he stepped up to the podium, he didn't say a word. He looked around and let the suspense build, and simply uttered one word, others. Then he walked off the stage. The message was clear. If you really want to make a difference, you live a life of serving others. Later on in the episode, I will tell you more about Russ and his wife Adele and how they live out that others first message. But first, we'll hear from Tim and Rebecca and how they started helping others right out of their own garage. Also in the Heavyweights of Faith, we'll learn about the missionary they called the Mother of the Nile, Lillian Trasher. Now, I know you're all busy people out there, so let's get right to it.
I was always kind of like a lost kid. I never really fit in anywhere, I would say. I ended up leaving home, caused a lot of pain in my family. I was living in Gainesville, Georgia. On the way home from work, I was driving by this little tiny white Baptist church. And I hadn't been to church, I had no desire to go to church, but I just felt compelled. And so I ended up going inside, kind of had questions for God. I was like, if you're real, I'd really like to know these things. And I listed off probably about 10 things. The pastor got up there and he answered all my questions that I had prayed about the night before. Next thing I knew, I was just overcome with tears and my vision was clear all of a sudden. I realized that God was real, he cared about me. After I got saved, all of a sudden things began to change in my life. Things started making sense. From there, I made it to another church and ended up really growing there. That's where I got plugged in to some great teaching and spent probably 7 years there.
When I was about 14, family kind of hit a crisis. For some reason, it just popped in my mind, I should go to church. And I asked my grandmother if I could go to church with her as a 14-year-old. So I just experienced the love of God before I really even understood the truth. And then when it was presented, you know, a couple months later even, understood the saving work of Christ and gave my life to him. I moved to Atlanta after college and eventually ended up at a church out in Gwinnett as an intern and then later on staff. And Tim was a volunteer there and we just met through friends. Got married in 2007. And then in 2008, we bought a house.
So we picked Adair Park because the houses were cheap. And at the time we moved down here, the neighborhood's about 50% unoccupied.
Our house is right on the neighborhood park. So we kind of have front row seats to neighborhood life. And we watched Drug Activity in the gazebo every day. We were in the yard one day and a little girl, Brittany, was about 8 at the time. She was one of the few kids in the neighborhood at the time that had a bike, so she was always riding her bike. And one day she came by and didn't have her bike. And we said, oh, what happened to your bike? And she said, oh, the tires are flat. And we knew enough to know that they probably didn't have the means to fix it or just weren't going to. And we said, well, if you were interested, you could do some chores around our house. We'll help you earn the money and help you fix your bike. Tim happened to be on the phone with his brother one day who was at Walmart and said, hey, can you pick up these parts? I'm helping this little girl fix her bike. And Jeff came home with a new bike. It was like $10 more. So we gave Brittany the bike. She was over the moon excited. She rode off and 20 minutes later, there was a knock at the door and it was Brittany and two friends. And she said, they want bikes too. From that point on, an idea was born. And we thought, I bet people have bikes in their garages, you know, that their kids have outgrown, and I wonder if they'd give them to us. We found we hit something.
A byproduct of kids getting the bikes was that the bikes began to break. And so with those bikes breaking, they needed to be repaired.
We had a toolbox by the front door that was like the bike shop. On Saturdays, we'd have like 20 kids in the driveway fixing their bikes. Like it was fun, but it got a little crazy.
Becky got selfish and decided that she wanted to live in her home and not have it as a bicycle storage container. So she tasked me with finding a place to put the bicycles. So it was great. We're getting to know the kids. We're starting to gain some influence.
It was really this kind of reclamation of a space and a neighborhood. All of a sudden, this community was developing. We have kids now. Mary Kate, our four-year-old, just had a hard time connecting in Sunday school classes.
We were looking for a preschool, and we saw Redeemer, so we were like, oh, if we can get her to go to preschool here, then she would go to the Sunday school class, and then it would be a win-win.
There was a desperate plea as parents of, oh gosh, we need a children's ministry that she will go to, and also just a church that aligned with our worldview and values.
I took her and dropped her off, anticipating a big breakdown like it had happened everywhere else. And she walked inside and has done so ever since. So she loves the preschool. She loves the Sunday school.
We ended up just falling in love with both the children's ministry and then just the community at large. We're naturally passionate about engaging in the larger culture, and I feel like that is something that Dr. Youssef speaks to a lot. Our faith is supposed to be active in the world, and that's definitely been a connection point for us. It became very clear that the gospel doesn't go forth unless there's a relationship there first.
And so we started focusing on what could we do inside of the shop to instill these values inside of kids. Everything that we do is based on biblical principles. Even the person that's so far away from God or doesn't want anything to do with him, they'll agree on the principles. So let's build a relationship out of where we agree, and then we'll eventually get to where that comes from as our relationships grow. When kids come into the shop now, they learn to build bicycles. So every hour that they work, they get points, they get enough points, they get to buy whatever they want. And we've had several kids buy it for their family and family members. And now you have some family units beginning to ride together. So we have a pastor that connect with kids and do the biblical leadership training. So our whole objective is, let's get to know people, let's do life with people, and then when the time's right, just like it was in my life and in Becky's, then we can speak into those things. I'm thankful to God that Brittany kind of walked into our life and all the lives we've been a part of now. I don't know that we would have such fulfillment in the purpose that we feel like God has called us to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heavyweights of the Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world.
Lillian Hunt Trasher served as a Christian missionary to Assyut, Egypt, where she founded the country's first orphanage. Over a period of 50 years, she cared for approximately 10,000 needy children. Because of her contributions, she earned the nickname of Mother Trasher. Lillian was born on September 27, 1887, in Jacksonville, Florida. She grew up in Georgia as a Roman Catholic. In 1905, she briefly attended a Bible college. For 3 years, from 1908 to 1910, she served as Mattie Perry's assistant at Faith Orphanage in Marion, North Carolina, mending, cooking, and changing diapers. Lillian asked God for guidance, praying, "Lord, I want to be your girl." She also listened to a missionary talk about her experience in India, causing Lillian to want to serve in Africa. Asking her fiancé, an ordained minister named Tom Jordan, to join her, he declined, offering to postpone their wedding. Sensing that she would not return to the United States, Lillian broke off the engagement only 10 days before their wedding. Struggling to raise money to cover her expenses, she received little encouragement, but yet did not give up. Lillian attended a missionary conference, meeting Pastor Brelsford, who served in Assyut, Egypt. Initially reluctant to encourage her, the pastor eventually invited her to join him when he returned. Before she left, people suggested that she randomly open her Bible to see what pages she chose. It was Acts 7:34, where it read, "I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." Arriving in Egypt late in 1910, with her sister Jenny and less than $100, a dying woman soon gave her baby to Lillian. To care for her and others like her, on February 10, 1911, she opened what became the Lillian Trasher Orphanage, where she lived entirely on faith and charitable contributions, often not having food for more than one day. She traveled on donkeys and sailed by boat. One time, her boat nearly sank. She contracted the bubonic plague, but survived. By 1914, Lillian had set up a school and Bible study program for 8 orphans in her care. By 1918, she had 50 orphans and 8 widows in her widow's dormitory. A local Presbyterian hospital agreed to provide care for up to 6 orphans at a time, increasing Lillian's ability to care for the sick children. In late 1918, Jenny returned to the United States, with Lillian forced to follow her during the anti-English post-World War I riots, which included an attack on the orphanage. In the United States, Lillian went on a speaking tour of the Assembly of God churches, raising significant funds for the orphanage. In spring of 1920, Lillian returned to Egypt. By 1921, she cared for 151 orphans, and by 1924, 300 children. She shared the Christian message wherever she traveled and kept the faith. During that time, a Swedish orphan revealed that she was spanked for not being Christian, leading to Muslim outrage in multiple countries. As a result, 70 Muslim children were removed from Lillian's orphanage. As sad as that made Lillian, she continued to receive large numbers of children needing care, and she continued to advocate for the children until her death on December 17, 1961, when approximately 1,200 lived in her orphanage. Today, the Assemblies of God of Egypt oversee the orphanage, with 85% of the funding coming from the churches in Egypt. And the Episcopalian Church honors Lillian each year on December 19th.
Special thanks to Inspirational Christians for use of their written biographies. Please visit inspirationalchristians.org for more biographies and articles.
I heard a story about this guy once who was a rough, tough, hard-drinking Marine. No one could tell him anything, and if you did, you better watch out. This was my friend Russ McCoy. But after discovering the light of life and the one and only Jesus Christ, he was changed. For many years now, he's served as the director of a charity called the Basic Needs Center. They help many people every day, all in the name of Jesus. You can find out more about Russ and Adele's work at facebook.com/thebasicneedscenter. Well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I'd like to leave you with the Bible verse. This is from Philippians 2:4. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.